Because you always attract your reciprocal, you'll attract a woman who's as courageous as exposing the vulnerability of her hurt heart as you are courageous as walking into the midst of her emotions and offering your deepest consciousness to notice, to feel her deep heart, to touch her deep heart. You always attract your reciprocal moment by moment by moment. You actually evoke it in your partner. If you don't have a partner, you'll attract a partner who's your reciprocal. That is your, as afraid as much as you want to bail, you'll attract a woman who creates chaos in your life is one way of saying it for you. Not just the normal, natural chaos of the feminine existence, just like your pulling back isn't just the natural desire of the masculine to be rested in solitude, but as you say, an escape. So to the extent that you are escaping, you'll attract a woman who's causing trouble, let's just say. As a masculine person, the only thing you can offer a woman is your depth of consciousness. You could offer her a lot of other secondary things, but if you don't offer her that depth of fearless consciousness and presence, she's not going to want to stay with you, or she'll do bad things like we're talking about. But the only way you can offer that is to be living your deepest purpose, day by day. And I don't mean, you know, I mean really down to the core. I mean that when you wake up in the morning, you know why you're alive. You feel why you have to be in a body and live in this world, because you're here to offer your gift, your love, your consciousness in a specific way. You're here to have a family. You're here to write a book. You're here to create a business. You're here to sit in silence in a cave. You know what your way of expressing your consciousness is. It is in your bones certain. You found that in your heart, so that when a woman looks at you, or anyone, a man looks at you, they feel that you are absolutely on purpose. You do not have that feeling right now. We could again stand you up. I thought we might give everyone a break for one day, but maybe not. Well, you could stand you up and have women vote, like, on how much they would trust you to, like, stay there with them while they went through anything they went through. I don't know what vote we get. We could find out if you want to do that. But my guess is that women would feel in you that you're not quite certain of your deepest purpose, and therefore you're not able to just put it out there and stand there in total strength, because you don't even know why you're with them. That woman isn't your purpose, your deepest purpose. And any woman can feel that. If you're not with her because you absolutely want to be with her, you unambiguously want to claim her heart, she is your chosen form of feminine divinity that you are going to sexually merge with, or whatever way you define in your relationship that you're going to merge together. If she can't feel that commitment of you are mine in this, she's going to hate you, basically, even though she loves you at the same time. She's going to feel that missing. She's going to be hurt by your lack of commitment. She's going to be confused. She won't have ballast. And what'll be worse is she'll take up the masculine slack that you're not inhabiting. So as ambiguous as you are, she'll become certain of random things, basically. It's not her native disposition. She doesn't go around thinking, well, what would make me happy? To walk around in absolute certainty. You know, I mean, that's, so when she's like that, you know, like, you could be sure that you're going, okay, you're not in the masculine claim mode. Someone's got to be. So she'll manifest that, and you'll end up with a woman who's in the masculine, directing you, directing her, doubting your direction, off on her mission, tense in the body, angular. Have you ever seen that? Yes. So now again, you could kind of get a read on a city. You know, you could just like look around at people, and if all the women are like that, you know, the men are all weak, and vice versa. If every woman is just totally open and trust, and you know, she's spent a lot of time around men who are trustable. You know, you acclimate to a degree of trust. When a woman's with a man who she can't fully trust in the way we're talking about, and her depth of consciousness, her body acclimates, gets used to holding that masculine space. Someone's got to make the decisions. Someone has to have that depth of direction. So she gets into the mode and it stays in her body. You can see it. She gets kind of angular and tense and her face kind of gets drawn out in a certain way and she becomes masculinized and it turns a man off even though you're causing it. You know, your half of it is that you're not occupying that space so she could relax. Your lack of occupying that masculine space makes her have to take it on. Someone's got to take it on. That's the law of relationship. There's always a masculine and a feminine. So she takes it on, and you'll take on the feminine. You'll become more ambiguous, and day by day will go by, and I think I'll do this for the next 5 years. And everyone could feel it's not like your absolute balls to the wall, gift to the world, you've got to do it before you die. They could feel it's kind of a casual, nonchalant, semi, you know, like, well, I've got nothing better to do, you know, and kind of thing that you give to people. And so the women that you attract will be women actually who like to be with a man who doesn't know what he wants to do, so they can manifest this, what a shell of their masculine. It's false masculine. They wouldn't do it if they could, but they have to, so they pick you. You know, so they go, like, it's not I'm going to say it out loud. It's never this conscious, usually, but it's kind of like a woman gets in that space, maybe just from being raised by a man, by a parent, where she doesn't trust the feminine. So this woman has occupied masculine space. So now she feels, I've got to be in charge of my own life. No man could tell me what to do. No man could know me better than I can know myself. I have to be able to guide myself to God. It's weak to let myself be open to someone who's going to take me. I have to take myself there. Anything else is a form of weakness. All of those are pseudo-masculine thoughts. And so she's walking around in this need to kind of guide herself to God, to guide her own life, and she'll just pick some guy who lets her do that. Okay, you want to do that? Okay. Why are you laughing so hard? Is this, do you know this guy? Oh, that's you. I think that could be a royal me, but. So another, you know, only men have asked questions so far, really, so I want to make sure I keep addressing women also. But if a woman finds herself with a man she doesn't trust, the question is, why the hell did you pick a guy who you can't trust? And the only real answer is, you didn't want to be with someone you could totally trust. Otherwise, you would have waited till you met that person. Women who pick men they can't totally trust are actually women who like to guide their life. And so they choose men who allow them to do that. Now, their deep heart still complains that he's not, you know, I wish you would be more certain of yourself. But as soon as he becomes more certain, she's like, bats him back down, and he goes down. So it's a kind of tricky matter. If you're together, you've chosen each other for being that way. If you're with these kind of women, you want women who guide their own life so you don't have to be responsible. So you can walk and they don't, you know, you're free in the pseudo-free way because they take care of themselves and try themselves. And you can, okay, whenever. And, you know, meanwhile, you're not getting the kind of radiance and lusciousness and surrender from her that you want. And she's not getting the claim of her heart and the persistence and consciousness that she wants. But it's your false shells of your pseudo-shell of, yeah, can her pseudo-shell of, that are playing with each other and have chosen each other. I don't know. Did that make any sense to you? Okay. Anything else? So for you, you know, I gave them a little practice. I see if they do it tonight, but your practice is to go to their house and join them. No. You're one step at a time. I would suggest that you would need to write down on a sheet of paper your life's mission very clearly, one piece of paper, and eventually get it to one sentence. And when you could say your life's purpose in one sentence, and that could change, you know, as you grow, that purpose could change. You might open to deeper purposes. So you might know your deepest purpose today and then have an experience or wake up tomorrow and realize that there was a deeper purpose under that you were too afraid to feel. So that purpose could change, but you're always deepening in it. If you can't offer that deepest purpose and have everyone feel that it's your deepest purpose, because it's very easy to delude yourself and go, it really is my deepest purpose, you know, and everyone's going, sure, whatever, guy, you know, like, just do your thing. But again, we could stand you up here and have 10 women vote on whether, or men too, whether they feel it's your deepest purpose. And these are amazingly objective things. I keep saying this, so I'm sure before the night's over, we're going to have to pull someone up here. But everyone can feel when you're speaking from your deepest purpose and when you're not. And when you could just say, my deepest purpose is to blank with my life, and that's my gift. And women go, ah. Oh. Then you'll attract a woman who enjoys a man who can claim her. If you can't do that, if someone says, what is your deepest purpose? You go, that much is enough for to attract a woman who wants to occupy that space of purpose, who needs to occupy that sense of purpose from her own neurotic need to be in charge of herself. So it's like, wow, there's a man who I could trust to leave me alone. Let me do my thing. Hey, she'll ask you out on the date probably at the rate we're going, but well, anything else? Do you understand? So you need, could you do that practice? I mean, would you? Okay, that would be good. Any women have a question by any chance? Yeah.
The man I was with until recently didn't seem very interested in penetrating my life the way you were describing, so I've had to do it myself, but I'm tired of that.
So you'd like to be more in your feminine, so you'd like to be with a man who could help you relax more in your feminine. I want someone to say, just shut up and love me. wait, that's shut up and love me. How many men in here are single at the moment? Raise your hand. Okay, if any of you men think that you could help her kind of shut up and love better, keep your hand up. No one? It's your chance. Beautiful woman, wanting to be helped to be open, willing to have a man say, shut up and love me, and open and surrender in the midst of it. It's a rare thing, you guys. You could be missing your opportunity here going once. Going twice. Whoa, you're like going like this. Because you've worked with me before. So, yes, there are very few men, obviously, none in this room apparently, who are willing to step into that place and open you. There are just very few men who are willing to do that. It's not like they don't exist. But to be with that kind of man, to attract that kind of man into your life, and to even help evoke that in the man of your choice, you'll need to practice doing kind of what we just played doing, but I'm not going to be there to do it, so you'll have to practice that. So you'll have to somehow evoke, or, I don't know, give him a book of mine, or just, there's so many ways to do it. Tell him how much you like him to tie you down and control you. You know, like, beat me, please. You know, just like humorously. You don't mean actually beat, but, you know, just ravish me. You know, like give him, you can't do it now. You can't tell him to do it now because then you're in the masculine telling him what to do. You kind of laugh. It's way out in the future. Another way you could do it is just have a friend of his tell him. You go to a friend of his and you say to him or her, would you please communicate to him that I'm dying for him to just take over my life? Tell me what to do. Tell me to shut up and love me when I'm talking. You know, pin down my arms, force me to open, not let me get by with anything less than total surrender. You know, I'd love him to do this and this and this and this. And just tell someone and then have that person go and tell him, because he really might not know. Now, he may know and not be willing. Now, if he's not willing to do it, then you need to be with another man. We don't know. He's not here. I can't ask him, but we don't know if he's willing to do it. I don't think. I think he might be willing, but might just not know how. Might not know you even really want that, or how deeply you want that, or have the skills to do that. He might be so used to being giving women space and learning, you know, like he might have learned from a second stage viewpoint in my jargon that what you do is, you know, you give women space. They're humans, you're humans, everyone does what they want to do, you don't interfere. So when you're talking, for instance, like you were just doing, many second stage men will just sit there listening, and inside they're going, what was the game of the, you know, what was the score of the game I saw yesterday on TV? Oh yeah, God, that was a great play. And they're like, they're doing whatever they're doing, but they're not, the last thing they're doing is listening to you, or they're just kind of getting, yeah. They're like, oh yeah, sure, yeah. They're, really, they want to connect with you or they wouldn't be with you. I'm talking about a lover. So Your lover would usually want you to connect. Now, if you talk from that place of connection, that's beautiful. But if you're just talking and he's listening and there's not that connection, he's going to phase out. He's going to pull back and you're going to become less attractive to him. And so what since you just did it with me, I'm guessing, and I could be way off, that your demeanor with him, your disposition, your personality, your habits of behavior with him were like they were with me, like you keep talking. That's all it takes for most men to run. Raise your hand if that's true, men. Okay. So it's not that talking is bad. It's that talking disconnected from heart connection is bad. Not bad. It's just unpleasant. I mean, there are very few men who pay to sit in front of a woman and listen to her talk about things. You know. This guy's done it, but he's a pervert. So. But there are a lot of men who would pay to sit with a woman who would even pretend that they're connecting heart to heart. Even some men would pay even knowing that they're just doing it for pay, just to feel connected energetically. And so, the offering you have, let me kind of reframe the whole thing, and then I'll do my best to come back to your exact question, but since he's not here, I can't really deal with him directly, obviously, but you're here. And it's very sexy and very beautiful and very inviting is the best word to feel how much you want to open, how much you want to connect your heart, to offer your heart. You deeply want to do that, don't you? That's the most inviting thing a man can feel, that you're offering your heart to be entered. You're inviting him to open you, to enter you, to open you even deeper than you've ever opened yourself. That invitation, that plea even of your yearning, I beg you, you know, take me. That's going to be a much more interesting conversation to most men than and then, you know, I even said, shut up and love me. And you go, you know, it's just like took me 3 times and I'm, you know, standing up here and there's a whole, I mean, I can't even imagine you're sitting in a restaurant. A guy will just a few times will try to get in the word in here, get in the word in there. You'll keep going by that time. He's already made his decision. So again, it's not speech itself. It's where it's coming from. Are you connecting to his heart? Are you offering your heart to be taken? And then speaking from that place of offering. So your body is saying, I yearn to be taken open by your love. And then let your words come from that place of yearning, whatever they are. But if your words are coming from a place of tension, I'm not getting what I want, and they're coming from that place, then you'll attract a second stage man who wants his freedom by leaving instead of learns to open you with his freedom, which is his third stage gift. You will attract a man who can enter your heart as deeply as you offer your yearning. Moment by moment. So you could be with somebody for 20 years, and now is this present moment, you're sitting at the dinner table, and it's very easy in long-term relationships to get in habits. And so you're sitting at the kitchen table, just doing your thing, talking about the day, about your plans, but you're not offering your yearning. Do you know what I mean by that? You know, it's just, you're just both there. Your lack of offering that yearning will allow him to not be claiming your heart. He'll just be talking to you about business, about this and that, about groceries, or whatever you're talking about. It's actually the tangible feeling of you offering your yearning. You know, I yearn. You don't have to say this. It's a feeling that you offer, you know, through your body. You could say it, but it's just, I yearn for you to open my heart. I yearn to feel you feeling me. I yearn for you to see me. I yearn to give myself to you.
What if he seems like he's thinking in his head while I'm yearning?
You need to yearn through your body more. Rub your pussy against him with that yearning and see how much he's up here. It it's not like complex. You know, men are very simple. Most men tend, and masculine women, tend to be in their head a lot. The fastest way to get them out of their head is to get them into their body. And the most, and to some men, I mean, it depends on how extreme you want to say this, how offensive we want to be this evening, but your sexual energy is, it's either the only thing a man likes about you, or, see? Or the central aspect of what he gets from you and no one else. You know, because he's chosen you as his sexual partner. He also has chosen you because he likes being with you, but he likes being with his buddies also. He's chosen you because he likes your sense of humor, but he likes the sense of humor of his buddies also. You know, he enjoys your love, but he loves the love of his mother and his kids and his dog. I mean, he's not with you for love or companionship or humor. He's with all kinds of people for that and you. The unique thing in most intimate relationships that he's with you for, the thing that he shares with you and nobody else, hopefully, or if he chooses to, is that depth of sexual exchange. He does not do that with his dog. Yeah? He does. I mean, if you're gone for vacation, you know. He doesn't do that with his best friends. You know, he doesn't do it with his parents and his children. But he might share all kinds of dimensions of love and companionship and humor and friendship and activities together with all those people. But the very unique thing, the thing that he goes, this is my precious source of the feminine, is that sexual flow. And it doesn't have to be sexual intercourse, you know, like actual penis and vagina sexual intercourse, but it's still that transmission of that energy. So the fact, if he's up here, you're clearly not giving your feminine sexual energy to him in that moment. No man can resist feminine sexual energy. Unless they're really old, blind, or sick. Or too young. You know, I mean, any healthy man within a certain age range, you could have wrapped around your finger by just giving him your sexual energy. Every woman knows what I'm talking about, right? Yes or no? Okay, now, if you're coming from a first stage place, you use that sexual energy to get what you want. It's manipulation. I'd like a larger car. Hi there. You know, like... In the second stage, you tend to suppress that. You think it's evil or negative to use your sexuality to do anything. It's like sexuality is inherently evil. I mean, it's just like... For women to diminish their sexual power is like, from, I don't know, like a man chopping off his head to kind of be safe or something. You're an amazingly powerful being, and with your lover, you can absolutely move him to do anything you want through your sexuality. Now, get him to do what you want for your sake. That's a first stage motivation. You know, I want a bigger house. I want his attention for me. So you use your sexuality for your sake. First stage moment. Second stage moment is, I don't want to manipulate him. We're each equal beings. We're self-responsible. He should make his own decisions. I should make mine. I shouldn't need to use my sexuality. Sexuality is only a part of me. I want him to see the whole of me. I want him to appreciate this about me and this about me. It's not all about sex. I don't always want to have to put out sex. And then you end up without a guy because that's why he's with you. Third stage is you say, he's chosen me for my sexuality, and I know I can get him to do anything I want through my sexuality, so I'm going to open him to God. And you use your sexuality to blow his mind, and his body, I guess. You use your sexuality to open his heart, essentially. You use your sexuality to bring him beyond all of his fears. See, like this man was saying very honestly, men live in this great fear. You could see it in men's faces when you're with them there. And the only thing that kind of breaks through that fear in an intimacy that you have uniquely, that I can't offer your man, I could break through his fear in my way, but your way is through your sexual offering. Your yearning sexual offering. So if he's heady and he's thinking about maybe he can't commit to a relationship and you're sitting there like you are right now, he's going to walk. If he starts talking that way and you just, I don't know, you're sitting there with him and just start masturbating And you look into his eyes and you feel his deepest consciousness. I mean, really, you feel his deepest consciousness. Because even when he's being afraid, you could feel his deepest consciousness in there. Do you know what I mean? That's why you're with him. I mean, so you feel his deepest consciousness. You start masturbating. You know what he likes to see in you. So you just offer him that to pull him into his body. Maybe you masturbate on him. He's going, I don't think I could be with him. You start rubbing yourself up and down his thigh. So if you're not offering your worship of his deepest consciousness sexually, there's no real reason for him to hang around that he couldn't find in another person to hang with. Are we all together still? Men, raise your hand if you mostly agree with me. Okay. So, most women, most people that come to these kind of talks are in a second stage time of their life. And so most women feel like, well, I shouldn't always have to use my sexuality. I mean, there's more to me than that. Or what happens if I don't want to use my sexuality? What happens if I'm not in the mood? I mean, it's fake then. I mean, are you telling me that I should just like put it out when I don't feel like putting it out? And, you know, there's like all of these objections, which is exactly like a man saying, what happens if I don't want to deal with her emotions and I want to walk away or I want to punch her out? I mean, I don't want to entertain those. If he wants to punch you out and he wants permission and you want permission not to offer your sexual energy, which is a way of punching him out, go for it. But I would say think of what's best for him. If you know you could open his heart through your sexual energy and you choose not to offer it, that's just like him choosing not to open you. Do you understand that? You attract a man as willing to enter your heart for real with total intense consciousness as you are willing now in the very same moment to offer him your sexual worship of his consciousness. Do you understand that? What I'm talking about doesn't may or may not involve sexual intercourse. It's literally feeling his deepest consciousness and offering your sexuality completely in total trust of his consciousness in that moment. You might be having sex and not be doing that. It's not sex. It's the sexual worship of his consciousness. It's actually using your vagina or your breasts or your mouth or your hands or your ass or whatever you're using, so to speak, to actually worship his consciousness. It's the feeling of I totally trust you and I worship. This is divinity. I give you everything. I worship you as divinity. You are God. I mean, how would you fuck God is another way of saying it. I mean, if this was God that you were fucking, I mean, what would you do? Really? I mean, you know, some guy wants a blowjob. He can say, oh, David says to give him sexual. But if it was like, you know, if you were with Krishna or Jesus or whoever, you know, you're with God as a masculine form, how would you give him oral sex? I mean, that's the quality that one, now you can't fake that. So if you're with a man whose depth of consciousness you don't trust, you shouldn't fake that. You should leave him, actually. You need to be with a man whose depth you trust. Now, of course, we're all growing, so there'll be times when that depth isn't, you feel it in him, but he's covering it over in fear and getting in his head and wanting to run. That's when you welcome him back in your third stage worship of his consciousness. And then there are times, the original question, where you're closed down and moody and maybe biologically preoccupied or whatever. You know, you're in your things and he can claim you open to God. But it's the trust of the ability of each other to open yourselves to God. You trust him more than yourself to open your heart to God with his presence. He trusts you more than himself to offer you, open him to God through the offering of your sexual worship of his consciousness. It'll always work. There's not a man in here who you can't open by doing that. There's not a woman in here a man can't open by just, I mean, I did it with you a few moments ago, and we don't have a relationship. This has nothing to do with how long you're in a relationship, how much you know each other. It's just a simple capacity to offer that as a gift. In your case, it's to offer your worship of his deepest consciousness through your sexual yearning. And in a masculine partner's case, it's the capacity to feel through all emotional things that might otherwise make him want to turn away or run or shut down and still claim your heart open with humor and love and tenderness, passion. And that's a beautiful thing. But the thing is, you're not going to want to do that in those moments. The last thing you're going to want to do is offer some guy sexual energy when he's being a jerk. So you actually need to train yourself to do that. Just like the last thing he wants to do is give you presents when you're being a bitch. And he needs to train himself as a training. He has to learn to breathe and hold himself a certain way and feel you, just like you need to learn how do you offer sexual yearning when you're feeling like killing him. Well, like I gave them a practice, it could evolve. You could start practicing having sex with him while you're like going, I hate you, I fucking hate you, as you're having sex with him. That would open your body a little, so now when you're angry next time, you could be angry at him and still feel sexually open. It's a practice, though. These things, you know, you hear them, they make sense and so forth, but you actually have to do them, like playing the piano or any practice. Just hearing about it doesn't get you there. It makes sense. But you have to go home. You, for instance, need to go home and do something like imagine yourself with this guy that we're talking about and masturbate, or if you don't need to masturbate, just somehow be totally sexually open to him and picture him in his worst, heady, distracted thing and feel the depth of his consciousness in your imagination and off, like, I don't know, do it on a pillow or something. Give yourself to him, even in your imagination, so that he couldn't resist feeling your heart. Not getting his rocks off, not sexual pleasure on the surface of the body, but actually he couldn't, he would be looking into your eyes while you got his attention because you're rubbing your pussy against him or something, but you're looking into his eyes or opening your body with such devotion that he might just begin weeping, feeling the depth of your devotion. That's what you need to practice. Practice it on your own, practice it in imagination, and when you're with him, practice it with him. 10 minutes a day, just do it. Like, tell yourself silently at 4 o'clock every day, I'm going to do this with him. And you just go up to him and do it. His world will transform. There's not a man in here whose world wouldn't transform if they were with a woman who literally bodily worshiped their consciousness. How many men would like that? Raise your hand. We're in the second stage culture where, like, I have to stand up here and say it. It's so obvious, though. I mean, every man wants it. Every woman wants a man who could be with her when she's emotional in this way and that way and actually can feel her and love her and see who she is, who she really is, what her deepest heart is, not just what's happening, but can really feel her yearning and meet her yearning. Wouldn't you like that in a man? Well, why don't you show that instead of, I mean, that's not really what you feel. Really what you feel is like, God, I want that. Isn't it? I mean, really, the yearning is like, your whole body yearns to be just love, doesn't it? But you're not showing me that. You're not showing anybody that. Now, I personally, you know, don't need that from you. But if you want to attract a man, if you want to attract a man who totally enters you, that's what you need to offer that man. Like that, and especially when you don't want to. That is the main thing. You're going beyond personal preference to offer yourself as a gift for the sake of all beings. You start with him. For his sake, open and offer your yearning so he gets tracked out of his head into love. For his sake, do it. Eventually, you learn to do it for everyone's sake. But we got a long way to go between here and there.